All right, let's try that again. Let's not fuck it up this time. There we go. And of course, the fucking asshole with the weed eater has to start fucking weed eating just as soon as we start recording. This is another reason I don't do as many podcasts in the summer, because there's always some fucking cocksucker outside the studio. And yeah, I could close the windows. There's always some cocksucker out there mowing a fucking lawn, or using a weed eater, or using a fucking leaf blower. If you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know how much I fucking despise leaf blowers. Here, I'm not fucking making this up. They will take the leaf blower, because we're in Colorado, right? We don't have a lot of green, so a lot of lawns are just rocks. Xenoscaping is, I believe, the correct term for it. And I will see the cocksuckers out there with a fucking leaf blower blowing, not leaves, it's fucking summer, there's no point. They blow the fucking dirt off the fucking rocks. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. And I gotta hear about global warming. And these leaf blowers are putting all kinds of motherfucking exhaust fumes into the goddamn atmosphere. Where are the motherfucking global warming wackos? Oh my god, it's global warming! You're gonna fucking die! Well, some of you are not gonna fucking die soon enough. Randy, would you bring the monitor speakers down a little bit? Thank you. And how's my waveform? Alright, haven't recorded in a while because I've been doing some shit getting ready. I've been reading some books. We're going to do a book discussion today. Oh, by the way, greetings everybody. I'm the Great One himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the website. Also got to remember to go to the store for that thing that I was thinking about buying to see how much it is. Now, if the sale price is going up, don't let me forget about that. Maybe tomorrow. Put down my list. Anyhow, I am founder of Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 years. I'm right. I'm always right. I've never been wrong. So forth and so on. You can email me, God, it's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the fucking interweb. And stomach's feeling a little cranky today, so we'll see how all of this goes. And I also forgot to close my email program, and now email is showing up, and now I'm getting distracted, and Randy is telling me to close the fucking email before she has to kick my ass, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and look, I'm closing, there, email closed. Because it's good to focus on one thing. This is important to do. We'll talk about that a little bit today, possibly. I also need to work on some meditation. God damn it. I have so much. As always. Anyway, hi, I'm the Great One, and stomach not feeling too good today. I'm not like barfing or anything. It's just like, just not agreeing with me. So I'm hanging out here. I got some cold water. I got some hot tea. And we're going to see how this goes. We're going to try to keep this down. This is a book discussion episode. We'll be talking about a book. Before I talk about the book, let me just throw the stuff at you that I am currently reading. Just got some more stuff from the Amazon.com. Again, for I am abandoning the ebook concept. I am officially over it. Over it, if I can fucking articulate. I'm over the ebooks. No, I don't want to sit in front of a computer, and I sit in front of a computer working, not all the time, but sometimes, and I'm in front of a computer, and I do some photo editing, and I'm doing some video editing, and I'm doing the podcasting, and I'm looking at a fucking computer, and this is why I don't fucking watch TV on the computer, and this is why I don't want to read books on the fucking computer, because I look at the computer too goddamn much. I bought the hard copy edition of The Unchained Man by Caleb Jones. His website is blackdragonblog.com. I have it on my list to make sure I have it on the linkage over on the sidebar on the podcast. He's good. He's really good. And what I like about him, now, the only thing, my only bitch so far about Caleb is he calls it the Alpha Male 2.0. And I'm really fucking over this 2.0 shit. It's just, to me, It's like when somebody writes LOL. You know, if somebody wants to be taken seriously and you're writing LOL, you have immediately, in my eyes, as soon as you write LOL on anything, you have immediately become equivalent to a 15-year-old girl. And that's how I'm going to treat you for the rest of your life. And this whole 2.0 thing is sort of the same. It's just so, it's like Michael W. Dean, who I may talk about in the future because I'm contemplating if I want to go there, and it's a long story. I have a lot of respect for Michael. Michael's done a lot of great things, yada, yada, yada. Michael, and I haven't listened to Freedom Fiends in a long time. When it was a podcast, when it was Michael and Nima, I listened to it fucking religiously. And it was really good. That's why I listened to it religiously. And they're very different because Nemo is very structured and analytical and goes, and Michael is just like fucking all over the place, tangenting from one thing to another, kind of like me. Which is one of the things I like about him. And he tells the same stories over and over. So at this point, I know enough Michael W. Dean stories. I could probably go on a podcast and pretend to be Michael W. Dean and tell his stories as good as he can. Anyhow, Michael always had this thing, well, it's the non-aggression principle 2.0. I'm just like, oh, God, I'm so fucking... Get just all of you, the 2.0 shit. Can you just fucking stop? It just... Just when you say that, it, and yeah, these are just my emotional reactions, and I'm aware of that. That's the difference between me and the social justice warrior, is that I know it's just my emotional reaction, but it just really annoys the fuck out of me. The 2.0 thing. So anyhow, it's the Unchained Man, the Alpha Male 2.0. Be more, get better with, be more happy, get better with women, make more money, live more free. This book is humongous. That's what she said. This book is a little bit over, this book is 420. It's 420 pages long. Oh, Colorado, 420. Ha. Oh, slap your knees, kids. Oh, it's so funny. 420 joke. Oh, anyhow, I've been reading Caleb's stuff on his blog. It's really good. What I like about Caleb, or Black Dragon, as I usually refer to him, because I typically can't remember his name except for in the books right in front of me. Oh, right. So I have this in the ebook form that I just went ahead and broke down and got the hard copy. What I like about Black Dragon is that his focus is not exclusively on banging chicks, which is a lot of red pill blogs tend to focus on that. Caleb is indeed interested in the whole fucking scenario. His book, not just his website, but this book, The Unchained Man, is about more than just women. It includes organizing your life, setting your priorities. You know, he's got in here like the seven, let me see if I can find it real quick. This is not even what I'm supposed to be talking about today, but we all know how I like the tangent. The seven something something. So there's like, oh, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? It's got pictures. I'm looking for the pictures. Oh no, that's talking about different forms of game, night game, day game, stuff like that. Anyway, you're the different realms in your life, right? Like your financial, your relationships with women, your family life, your spiritual life, your physical life, right? So he talks about things like that, like how to balance these things out and how to make your life whole. He talks about making money. He talks about starting a business, running a business. He owns three businesses of his own. I don't right offhand know what they are. He maybe mentions it in here. I don't know. We'll find out. Because I have not read the book yet. I bought the ebook a long time ago. So anyhow, The Unchained Man by Caleb Jones. It's not just a banging girls book. It's a banging girls, making money, organizing your life, setting your priorities, getting your shit together, being happy book. That's what it's about. And of course, the good thing about it is that it is written exclusively for men, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we start talking about the book I'm going to talk about today. The other thing I've got here, I haven't started reading it yet, but just got it, is The Rational Male Preventative Medicine. This is also by Thomas E. I think that's how you pronounce it. And so it's the follow-up to The Rational Male, obviously. I got that. I am nearing the end of Social Justice Warriors Always Lie by Vox Day. Right now I'm on Chapter 10, How to Talk to Social Justice Warriors. I'm about to start that one. What I'd like to do is go out here and beat the shit out of this guy with the fucking weed eater, because he's had all fucking day to weed eat, and I'm pretty goddamn sure there's no fucking weeds out there anyhow, because we're in Colorado. Oh, and I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, because I didn't type anything to Google, I heard again that Colorado is having a drought, which was interesting because I was up by the reservoir this morning trail running. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. Oh, so I went trail running this morning. It was great. And the fucking trees are underwater because there's such a fucking drought that the reservoir is so fucking full that the trees, which normally are above the water line, are underwater. And I don't mean like a foot underwater. I mean the trees are like fucking 5-6 feet underwater. So anyhow, fuck you and your drought. And then I have here this is me trying to get my shit together. That was a little A.E. Van Vogt. Voigt? V-O-G-T. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Yeah, it's The Voyage of the Space Beagle, which is an all-time classic of ancient day science fiction. If you're into sci-fi, if you're into good sci-fi, if you're into hard sci-fi, if you're into non-social justice warrior type sci-fi, then you want to get The Voyage of the Space Beagle and read it. Space Beagle, in case you're wondering, is not a fucking dog. I've had people in the past see the title of the book and they said, about a space dog? My fucking Christ. And we are again reminded why democracy doesn't work. Because the 99% are stupid. The Space Beagle is the name of the fucking spaceship, you morons. Which you could figure out if you read the fucking blurb on the back cover. Alright, speaking of books, let's get to what the fuck we're here for today. We are talking about Choose Yourself. I'm having problems with this whole reading thing already. It's going to say, be money. No, you can't be money. Choose yourself. Be happy. Make millions. Live the dream. And it is by, and I'm going to fuck his name up royally, James Altucher? A-L-T-U-C-H-E-R. I heard about this book from Mike Chernovic, who wrote the book Guerrilla Mindset. And that's why I checked it out, because Mike was saying he admired this guy a lot. And I saw something from Mike, I think it was a blog post, it's probably a blog post, where Mike ran into James Altucher, whose name I'm going to mutilate, so I'm just going to call him James from here on out so I don't fucking fuck his name up. Mike ran into James and wrote about it and everything, and he talked about this book and how good it was, and so I went, let me check this book out and take a look at it. And it's not bad. It's not for me. Now here's the thing, again, this is, and it's sort of a self-helpy book as you might get. It's something so along the lines of something Aaron Clary's Bachelor Pad Economics. It's similar to that. It's also similar to The Unchained Man, although it doesn't talk about meeting girls, but it does talk about organizing your life, being happy, making money, all that sort of stuff. And I will endeavor to remember, I will put a link to James's website in the show notes. And I've subscribed to his website and I've been reading some of the stuff there. And he's got some good things. I think one of his posts is ending up in a future, or by the time you hear this, it might be a past edition of Linkage. I think you may be seeing more of his stuff in Linkage in the future, because it's some really good shit on his blog. I can recommend it. And again, I don't agree with every fucking thing he writes, but as I've said a million times, that's not fucking necessary. I am not a feminist, I'm not a femistatist, I'm not a social justice warrior, I'm not a homostatist, I'm not a statheist. I don't require other people to completely conform to my opinions 100%. I do require the trains to not fucking go by and blow their horn when I'm fucking recording. But, you know, the land whales don't do what I say. And yeah, I could close the window, but then it would just be even hotter in here. And I'm sitting down and I'm really fucking comfortable. And my stomach is finally starting to feel better. It's the hot tea. It's mint. It's the Numi. I really like the Numi teas. If that's how you pronounce it. I fucking, for somebody who has a podcast, I can't talk. The N-U-M-I, it's the Numi mint, whatever the fuck it is. The minty mint. The mint. It's good shit. All right, let's start talking about James's book. Now, of course, the one thing, and I hinted at this, is what I said I was going to talk about, in relationship to The Unchained Man, which I had to grab the book and look at the title because I keep forgetting. I always just think of it as Black Dragon. You should just name his book Black Dragon. The thing about Choose Yourself that makes it slightly less useful, and this is for all the femistatists out there and social justice warriors, is that this is a book which is written for everybody. This is a book written for men and women. And by virtue of the fact that it's written for men and women, it is, of course, written for women, not men. Because when you write for both men and women, everything has to be... what's the word I'm looking for? Not dumbed down, but everything has to be put in a perspective for the weaker of the two genders. So it's written for women, so therefore it has to follow the feminine imperative, and it has to adhere to the prime directive, and it has to not cause any white woman to have discomfort, right? As opposed to something like, you know, Vox Day's book, Social Justice Warriors Lie, or to stick to sort of self-help, running your life, improving yourself. And I don't like the whole, it's a self-help book. It's an improving yourself book. Choose Yourself is not a self-help book, in my opinion. It is a improve yourself book. But since it's aimed at both men and women, it has to essentially be geared towards women. And as a man, speaking from a male perspective, yeah. What the hell is going on here? All right, we had to stop recording for a moment and tweak some shit because the microphone was picking up weird fucking noises, which you will probably fucking hear in the final podcast, just like you're going to hear this as I shake the microphone all over the fucking place. All right, anyhow, I think what was going on is that the fan was blowing on the microphone, which hasn't happened before, but that's because, well, you don't give a shit. It doesn't fucking matter. I just, dude, just shut up and fucking record the podcast. Anyhow, we're back. And Randy's the waveform look good now? Great, now I'm fucking hot. And we'll work this one out later. All right. Anyhow, what the fuck was I whining about? Oh, yeah. The book. Because it's written for men and women, it's obviously written for women. And in that sense, there are some aspects that are lost to men. Having said that, it is a good book. It's worth reading. And we will now begin slogging through this. Going to talk about some stuff, and in theory, this is only going to be one podcast long. He starts off, and I like this, he starts off with economic data, information. Here on page 11, he shows the median annual earnings in 2009 dollars from 1964 to 2009 for full-time male workers and for all men. And he shows how full-time male workers back in the evil, looking here, back in the evil 70s, were the 70s evil? Probably so. Back in the evil 70s, men were making over $50,000 full-time male workers. Now, of course, they have been making under $50,000 a year, median annual earnings, since about 1980, when the evil Ronald Reagan came in. And then all men, the median annual earnings, this would be part-time workers, over $40,000, close to $50,000 in 1974, and going down ever since to where now they are, let's see, that's $30,000, so where it's at is about $33,000 in 2009. His point is that the economy is not looking good, the amount of money people are making is going down. He shows some information here from the Fed, the Federal Reserve, what do you call it? Fred, it's a thing Aaron Cleary always uses for his statistics. He shows here about how U.S. household income, the middle class is going down, the upper class is going up. We've got the charts here about the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and yada, yada, yada. Not to pick on the rich people, not to whine, but just hit to point out that, yeah, despite the fact, interestingly enough, despite the fact that we have had 8 years of Hussein Obama, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. I thought Obama was going to fix all of that. I'm not really sure what the fuck happened there. Enjoy the decline is what he's trying to say. Enjoy the fucking decline. So, you got the economy going down, and that sort of sets the basis for all the things that follow in the book. Page 30... And I'm not going to do as much reading as I normally do on this one, because this is a short book. It's a brief book. You can read this pretty quick. Talking about rejection. Here he says, try this exercise. Think for a second of 10 different times you've been rejected. Were you rejected for a job? Did you have a novel rejected? Did a potential girlfriend, boyfriend reject you? List 10. Now think about this. How easy would it be to list 100? I can probably list 1,000. But what if you never try? What if you are afraid to try for fear of being rejected? And this is a great point. You can't. Everybody hates rejection. Even when you become immune to it, and not maybe not immune to it, but callous to it, right? Where you say, oh, he's got rejected. I mean, so what, right? You got to keep trying. You always, oh wait, there is no try. There's a do or do not. You have to keep doing. You keep throwing yourself out there. You may get rejected, but what is going to happen if you don't try? You're going to end up alone, living with your fucking cats, talking about how there ain't no good men because you never even bothered to attempt losing some weight. Or you're going to, you know, the feminist like, oh God, I saw a critique of Black Pigeon the other day, because I was Googling for one of his videos because I needed to get reference information for yada yada yada, so I typed it in Google. And some femistatist blog post came up where she was talking about Black Dragon, and she's got the video and she's talking about it, and she goes, I figured out why this guy's so stupid. It's because he's a 40-year-old virgin who lives in his mom's basement in Germany. And she goes, and then in the comments, somebody called her on it and just said, all you're doing is calling him a virgin who lives in his basement. Like, you're not disproving. The person actually said something like, I'm disappointed in you, which, I mean, she's a feminist. You can't expect any kind of intelligence from her. So anyhow, I'm not sure what that has to do with the book. That's just me tangenting. I understand this. I've been rejected more than I care to remember, to the point where some days feel like enough is enough. When you put yourself out there on a daily basis, that's going to happen, whether you deserve it or not. You get hate mail, you get rejected for opportunities, even if accepted for others. You get people who don't understand you, who are upset with you, angry with you, don't respect you for what you've done for them. You can't hate the people who reject you. You can't let them get the best of you. Nor can you bless the people who love you. Everyone is acting out of his or her own self-interest. What you need to do is build the house you will live in. You build that house by laying a solid foundation, by building physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. That's one of the things I like about his approach, is just like Black Dragon in his book talks about the seven aspects and, you know, talks about being, there's some, what is, oh, how does he put it? So his, one of his distinguishing things between, I'm talking about Black Dragon, not James, the Alpha Male 1.0 and the Alpha Male 2.0, which is, I hate the 1.0, 2.0 shit. One of his distinguishing features, and I know this just because, oh God, fuck you. Fucking pop-ups from software that I installed, which is really pissing me the fuck off. What was I talking about? Oh yeah. So one of Caleb's distinctions between the Alpha Male 1 and the Alpha Male 2 is that the Alpha Male 1 values control. Really? We're going to fucking weed eat right outside the fucking window? Fucking douchebags. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday. Shouldn't you be fucking drinking a beer? Right on time, there's the chime. The hell was I talking? Oh yeah, the distinction between Alpha Male 1 and Alpha Male 2 is that the Alpha Male 1 values control over happiness. The Alpha Male 2 values happiness over control. And that is, to a great extent, the same thing that James is going for in his book, I think. He understands and conveys that there are a whole lot of things beyond your control, and you need to work on what you can control, and you need to work on yourself. And that's what I appreciate about him when he talks about you need to work on the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual health, because those are the things that are going to get you through it. Let's jump up to page 84. If I can get my fingers to work. Here he's talking about making money, which we all like to do. The key to making money, the key is to make money off the grid, to make money outside the imprisonment of corporate America and out of reach of the powers that choose or reject us, to be able to work from any location. As we move towards the employee-less society, where ideas become currency and innovation gets rewarded more than manual or managerial services, you will have the opportunity to live a life you want to. In the book I Was Blind But Now I See, I wrote about how people no longer needed a home or an education. Don't buy a house and don't go to college. I wonder where we've heard that before. How both are leashes that society has created to hold you down and prevent you from growth. Wonder where we've heard that before. But let's take it one step further. Do you need to even rent? Do you need to stay in one place? Maybe if you have kids and the kids are going to a public school, though I'd recommend unschooling, but that's another entire book. Unschooling, I love it. Then you might be tied to one place. By the way, he's not, by no stretch of imagination, is James an anarcho-capitalist, but you can already hear in pointing out that buying a home and getting an education are, how does he put it, leashes that society has created to hold you down. And by recommending unschooling, you can see that James is breaking away from the narrative. Otherwise, the entire dream of technology's full potential has finally come true. It hasn't just created efficiencies at the workplace, it's created efficiencies at home as well. Earlier, I stated that the rise in technology was partially the cause of the era we find ourselves in now, being forced out of the nest, so we either fly or die. But ultimately, it's our ever-increasing quest for a frontier, physical, technological, material, and spiritual, that creates the opportunities for those who hunt for them. We still live in a consumption world where people do continue to accumulate computers, cars, TVs, furniture, etc., but none of that is necessary. You can move from place to place using services like Airbnb. And he goes on and he talks about how he uses Zipcar. He travels. He's got this. He's got no baggage. He says, I don't need a computer or a tablet because my phone. He's like, I can use FedEx Kinkos to write an article. He's like, I have my phone. I have my apps on my phone. What else do I need? What else do I need ever? Well, you might ask, what if you have a job? Get rid of it. You ultimately don't need it. You ultimately will be pushed out of it. We've already talked about it. We're already living it. Cubicles have become commodities. Whoever sits in a cubicle becomes replaceable. I've seen it with my own eyes. You might say, but I can't get another job just like that. I can't quit my job. Fine, don't. Do the daily practice instead. It will be like magic. I promise you, you will find another job. You will find the right places where you belong. You will find ways to develop alternative sources of income so your reliance on one source of income diminishes. And the daily practice, he talks about that. And again, this, it's his big on not having the one source of income, which, and that's something he shares with Black Dragon, which again, if you've listened to me a long time, you know, I'm in the same boat. I have multiple streams of income. I am not rich by no stretch of imagination. I am fucking poorer than fuck. Yet, as I have pointed out, I am a poor as fuck person who can't reach the water bottle. Hang on. Oh, fucking made it. I am a poor as fuck person, and yet I'm hitting the microphone, making noise. And yet Randy, a smart person would have moved the fucking microphone a little further off. But apparently I didn't bring any smart people today. What the fuck was I talking about? Hang on. I needed water there. Whew, that was, goddamn, that was good. Multiple income streams. I am not a rich motherfucker by any stretch of imagination, but I have, well, I just spent a little bit because I had to buy some shit, so normally I have 6 months worth of living expenses on standby. I think right now I might only have 5 months worth of living expenses because I spent a big chunk of change buying some stuff. A lot of it, books from Amazon.com. Multiple streams of income, save your money, minimalism, yada, yada, fucking yada. Because he's right, stuff in, there's, again, of course, obviously there's a lot of stuff in the book I'm skipping, but he talks about the unemployment rate, how more people are going to become unemployed as time goes by, how unemployment is going to become the new normal, how people are being replaced by robots, by computer software, by outsourcing, all this other stuff. And you can whine about it, they took our jobs, and you can wait for Obama or Hillary Clinton to create a job for you and all this other shit, and you can get on welfare and food stamps and WIC and all this other, but ultimately, I think he's right, and I think he's right about this, high unemployment rates are going to become the standard. They're going to become the normal thing. Deal with it. Page 91. What do I want to do here? Here he talks about, you know, so now he's talking about working. He talks about his own personal criteria about working. And he's, this is what he says. He likes to make my own hours. I'm just going to read these topics. I'm not reading the stuff. These are just the topics. Help people. Deal with clients I like. Be artistic. Make a lot of money. Deal only with colleagues I like. Come up with ideas. Not be at the whim of one decision maker. Be around like-minded people. Be an expert. And so look at what you do for a living. Like I said, these are his criteria. Yours might not be exactly the same, but these are pretty fucking good. Because when I think about my jobs, when I think about the things I do for money, working in the theater, doing photography, building websites for people. Do I make my own hours? Most of the time. With theater gigs, you have to be there when the gig is happening. But For the most, to a great extent, I make my own hours with theater gigs, and also I can turn down a gig anytime it's offered to me. I don't have to show up for one. The way, again, you know, for those of you not in theater, the way it works is you work when they let you know, hey, this is the gig, can you do it? And you say yes or no. So if I've got something planned, I can say, ah, shit, I just can't do that one. And it's not a big deal. So I get to choose which gigs I work. And as far as maintenance time and repairing time and office time and stuff like that, I can make my own hours. I can work from home a lot of the time. Obviously, making my own hours, website design, unless I have a meeting with a client, photography, unless I have a meeting with a client or I have to be somewhere doing, it's all my time. Helping people is what you do in theater, in events. You help people do productions. I'm helping people all the time. Websites, I help people. Photography, I help people. Deal with clients I like. Yeah, I can fucking fire anybody I don't like. I don't have to work with anyone if I don't want to. Be artistic. Yes, theater, website design, photography. It's all artistic. Make a lot of money. Okay, that one not making a lot of money, but I'm okay with that right now. It's, you know, you can't have everything. Deal with colleagues I like. I have a little less control over colleagues in the theater. Most of the people I work with in theater are fucking left-wing statist cocksuckers. But you can't do anything but that. Come up with ideas. I have to come up with ideas all the fucking time. Not be at the whim of one decision maker. And what he means by that is by not being at the whim of one decision maker, it's not having, like, for example, only one big client. Right? Where if there's one, and that's the thing with everything that I do, there's not one client, there's not one person paying the bills that, oh my God, if I lose that client, I'm going to go bankrupt, right? You know, there's those companies out there that, oh, they've got this big account with this one big corporation, and then that corporation goes under, and it's like, all of a sudden, they don't really have enough income from other streams to keep their corporation afloat, and they go under. And being aligned around like-minded people, to a great extent I am. Being an expert, yeah, I'm, in a lot of ways I am an expert. Now, here's this next little section here, and there's some good shit here. One last thing. I've discussed the reasons why this major paradigm shift is occurring. It's not that the system is out to get you, or that the system is imploding. This is not a conspiracy theory about the government, or capitalism, or the 1%. This is actually a great opportunity for people who can now navigate the rough surf that history is throwing up on our shores. Regardless, you need to change for the changes that are coming. Some of the reasons I've covered this in the preceding chapters, but we'll go over all of them again so you don't have an excuse for not remembering them. I like this guy's style. Number one, the middle class is dead. I laid out all the statistics and anecdotes earlier. Again, I don't say this is something to be scared of, and maybe I'm saying it a little too harshly, but at the current rate of income and with the flight of capital out of the United States, you have to take this into account when making major life decisions. It's not like you can choose for this not to happen. It's not a choice. This is happening. In fact, it's already happened, and we are all the walking dead. I like that. Yeah, he's right. This is not a fucking choice. It has happened. It is happening. It's going on. It's done. Number two, you have been replaced. Technology, outsourcing, a growing temp staffing industry, and productivity efficiencies have all replaced the middle class. The working class. Most jobs that existed 20 years ago aren't needed now. Maybe they never were needed. The entire first decade of this century was spent with CEOs in their Park Avenue clubs crying through their cigars, "How are we going to fire all this dead weight?" The year 2008 finally gave them the chance. It was the economy, they said. The country has been out of a recession since 2009, for 4 years now. So this book was written in, let me just check on this real quick. We can do math and guess from that, but I want to see what this says. This is copyrighted 2013, right? Country's been out of a recession since 2009, 4 years now, but the jobs have not come back. Everyone is getting fired. Everyone is toilet paper. Flush. Corporations don't like you. This is not a surprise to capitalists and entrepreneurs or even artists. The entire idea behind a corporation is to set up a legal structure that takes advantage of cheap labor. The cheap labor makes something for you for less than you sell it. I'm not saying this isn't unfair, which is an interesting double negative. I'm not saying this isn't unfair, which is another way of saying I'm saying this is unfair. I don't know if that's a typo or if he's actually... Anyhow, it is what it is. But you have to make sure if you are being exploited, you learn how to exploit back. You use the corporate job as a rest stop on the way towards being healthy, on the way towards figuring out how to innovate and take advantage of the mythical safety net to move on to bigger and better things. Again, yes, you can work for the corporation, but they're not there to take care of you. They're not your friends. They don't care about you. You're not going to retire there. It is a fucking stepping stone. 100% on board with this guy. Money is not happiness. This is number four. Money is not happiness. I'm skipping some stuff here. In other words, don't stay at the job for safe salary increases over time. That will never get you where you want, freedom from financial worry. Only free time, imagination, creativity, and an ability to disappear will help you deliver value that nobody ever delivered before in the history of mankind. By the way, this is not just an opinion. We can look at one simple profession, the law. Lawyers are ranked number one in average pay. They are also ranked as the number one profession for which the percentage of people in that depression are clinically depressed. Number five, count right now how many people can make a major decision that can ruin your life. And then, of course, his point is get rid of them. Find ways to get where they can't ruin your life. Number six, is your job satisfying your needs? I will define needs the way I always do, via the four legs of the daily practice. Are your physical needs, your emotional needs, your mental needs, and your spiritual needs being satisfied? And he talks so much about that. Number seven, your retirement plan is for shit. I don't care how much you set aside for your 401k, it's over. The whole myth of savings is gone. Inflation will carve out the bulk of your 401k. And in order to cash in on that retirement plan, you have to live for a really long time doing stuff you don't like to do. Then suddenly you're 80 and you're living a reduced lifestyle in a cave and can barely keep home at night, keep warm at night. The only real retirement plan is to choose yourself, to start a business or a platform or a lifestyle where you can put big chunks of money away. And again, he's right, your 401k, it's gone. Number eight, excuses. I'm too old, I'm not creative, I need the insurance, I have to raise my kids. Wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. Number nine. Hot tea is delicious. Number nine, it's okay to take baby steps. Right? And then he talks about how, okay, you can't quit now. Okay, fine. But you can start doing things to move towards creating your own business, your own income stream, creating a second income stream in case your corporation fucking, well, let me rephrase that, for when your corporation downsizes you. Number 10, abundance will never come from your job. Only stepping out of the prison imposed on you from your factory will allow you to achieve abundance. You can't see it now. It's hard to see the gardens when you are locked in jail. Abundance only comes when you are moving along your themes, when you are truly enhancing the lives of people around you. Yeah, I mean, it's good shit, man. This is very good shit. Page, I just did that. Page 139. What's on page 139? I don't know. This is a chapter, and this is something I'm going to start working on. This is what I've taken from the book, and this is what I am going to begin applying, effective immediately, as in today. I'm going to sit down in a little bit and do this. He talks about how to be, this is a chapter, the chapter title is How to Become an Idea Machine. I'm not going to read any of this chapter. Essentially, what he gets at is this, is the way to choosing yourself, as he puts it, is to be able to come up with ideas. And your ability to come up with ideas and then from those ideas distinguish the good ones and then execute them, because execution is important. Again, all these fucking morons that knowledge is power. As we, Randy and I were watching Game of Thrones today. We're on disc 5. No, just season 5, disc 2. And one of my favorite moments so far is the time when it's Cersei and, what's his name, Littlefinger. And they're walking along, and Littlefinger's like, knowledge is power. And Cersei, who has her armed guards, the guards like grab him and stick their swords up to his throat. And she says, no, power is power. And yeah, this whole knowledge is power thing, I'm just fucking sick of that. It's not, okay, it's not. As I've said before, let's say somebody has a burst appendix. If you're standing there and you know how to perform an appendectomy on that person, knowing how to do it doesn't help them. Actually doing it helps them. You take the scalpel, you cut them open under sterile conditions, you go in, you take out the burst appendix, you clean out all the junk that's exploded in their body, you sew them back up, you do it under sterile conditions so they don't get an infection. It's not the knowledge that's the power. It's not the knowledge is fucking useless. The knowledge is fucking useless. Listen to me, you stupid cocksucking motherfucking cunts out there. The knowledge, your knowledge is fucking useless. This is why the medicated generation is some of the stupidest people. We're smart. We have Google. We're so smart. Yes, you can type shit into Google and you can get Google to give you a page and you can click on the link and you can look at it and read it and you can think you're smart, but you haven't fucking done anything. You have not executed. Knowledge, as I choke to death on water, knowledge is not power. Action is power. Execution is power. And James gets this. He wants you to become an idea machine, and he tells you how he thinks you can go about becoming an idea machine, generating lots of ideas, and then synthesizing these ideas with each other, and doing things with finding ideas that's like all of a sudden, hey, you know, and training yourself to be able to think of ideas. And after thinking of enough ideas, the day comes when you come up with, oh shit, this idea is actually really good. And one of the criteria he puts on your ideas is that any idea you come up with needs to have an actionable first step. All right, so if I come up with the idea to minimize the amount of noise coming into the studio from outside, okay, there's an actionable first step. That actionable first step would be for me to get off my ass and close the window. So you come up with your ideas. Your ideas need to have actionable for, this doesn't mean you do all of them. It means that when you're coming up with the ideas, you're coming up with ideas that could be actionable, not just like truth. Oh, I have an idea. I want to go to Mars. It's, well, I mean, that's possible. For me, it's not. I'm not, well, I mean, I kind of sort of could, possibly, depending on how space travel goes in the future. But the point is, when you have, let me put it this way, if you have an idea, like, I want to flap my arms and fly. Okay, that's just not going to happen. There's no actionable first step that's going to get you closer to it. That's his point. So the idea generation chapter, very important. Page 156, what do I have here? Section H. Let's go back to this one. 40% unemployment. The reality is most people should not be at work. Why? Other than the many reasons already, there's a word I can't fucking pronounce in this book. It's simply because most people are bad at their jobs. It's rare that someone is actually good at what they do. I know maybe 10 people who are good at their jobs. This is not a critique. It's just a fact. And basically, robots are better. That's why Apple is moving production back to the United States, because too many Chinese people were killing themselves in their factories. Robots don't kill themselves, and they get the job done faster. So what society really needs is 40 or 50% unemployment. Here's how you do it. My solution starts off communist and ends up libertarian. Basically, companies get incentivized to replace all humans with robots. The excess profits you get from firing people gets taxed at only half the rate. All of those robot taxes get put into a government fund that uses it to subsidize the people who are fired. The subsidies, though, run out after 3 years, so you have 3 years from the day you were fired to start a new business. Now, this isn't, and then it's easy assist of stuff, and robots are the new middle class. Everyone else will either be an entrepreneur or a temp staffer. Don't shoot the messenger here. It's already happening. I'm just trying to figure out a way we can actually accept the 40% unemployment or underemployment already at 20% that is coming. Yeah, it's a statist idea, but it's actually not that dissimilar from my idea that I floated many times. People on welfare, give them a lump sum. Just give them the big fucking $100,000 and they're done forever. No more welfare ever in your life. Here's $100,000. Fucking makes it sink or swim. Anyway, the book is Choose Yourself, Be Happy, Make Millions, Live the Dream by James Altucher, whose name I'm totally fucking up. There will be links to his blog in the show notes.